Welcome back, everyone. Day three, final day, Mystic Council meeting. I know we're all waiting for the reveal on our waitings. Thank you very much. Just want to point out, we do have other business today. I do not have anything specific on hand. If anyone has any topics, please let me know or just raise your hand when we get to other business. With that, like I said, it's now the big reveal on our waitings and all the homework you guys did last night. I do want to thank the Connecticut contingency for the cruise last night. It was very enjoyable, very pleasant. I will now, actually, before I turn to chairware, I will turn to Dr. O'Keefe.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Before we get going, we want to recognize all the work that's gone into this effort to develop the risk policy, and I would like to read into the public record a letter to Chair Ware. Dear Megan, on behalf of the New England Fishery Management Council and its staff, I'd like to extend our heartfelt appreciation for your exceptional leadership and steadfast dedication as the chair of the Risk Policy Working Group. The Council reconstituted the Risk Policy Working Group in March 2023 to review the Risk Policy Statement and develop recommendations for future changes. With encouragement from fellow Council members and other Working Group members, you volunteered to serve as Chair and played a key role in drafting the terms of reference. Through the spring and summer of 2023, you led the Working Group in reviewing the Council's previous Risk Policy, developing goals for a new Risk Policy that could be directly implemented to better inform council decisions, and dissecting the term stability. In 2024, you chaired 8 risk policy working group meetings with a calm but determined attitude. You asked managers to be open-minded and creative, while also subtly suggesting that scientists speak in plain language and simplify concepts. You fostered trust between the council and the risk policy working group by continually making time to listen to questions and feedback, and you ensured forward progress while also recognizing that everyone needed to come along. With support from the Vice Chair, Dan Salerno, Council Staff Lead Jonathan Peros, Contractor Angelia Miller, other staff members in the full working group, you led the evolution of an idea for weighting and scoring of factors to a quantitative method. Throughout 2025, in the first half of 2026, your commitment to this endeavor stretched far beyond risk policy working group meetings into individual and subgroup tasking, staff briefings, and presentation reviews. You maintained your calm and steady approach at every turn, and continued to adapt to changes as the concept became a curve. After 3+ years, 20 risk policy working group meetings, 13 council reports, and countless hours developing the council's risk policy, I want to congratulate and thank you for a job very well done.
Now that we set you up, hopefully we don't have to hear from you anymore about risk policy other than now. Thank you very much, and I'll give it to you, Chair Ware.
Thank you. That's extremely kind. It's been my honor and privilege to chair this. So I will just pass it over to Jonathan for the big reveal.
It's here. This is the shortest presentation I've ever given to the council, so a few milestones here today. So I guess before we get going, I just wanted, I think everyone should maybe has been emailed the report. If you haven't, we're going to show it on the slide here. We'll show the results of the weights. Angelia has updated them into the toolkit, and so we'll have another brief demonstration using the weights that the council had provided yesterday. So without further ado, the results of the council's global weighting. So we took the 18 inputs provided by council members. They were averaged for each of the 5 factors, and the weights are in the table on the screen. So I'll go through each in order. We have 2 rows, so the mean of the weights. So there was a range that you could weight on 0 to 4, and then those get normalized when they're applied to the logistic curve. So that's why there's 2 rows and 2 numbers. I'm going to focus on the mean row at this point. So for SSB stock status, 3.44. For recruitment, 2.89. For climate vulnerability, 2.11. Recreational was 2.06 and commercial is 2.83. Just above that, you can see the a bar chart for each of the factors that shows the distribution of the weights that were given by council members. I'll say a little bit more about that in this slide. So for biomass stock status, this had the highest average weight, as you saw. 67% of the council members, or 12 of you, ended up giving a weight, not a score, a weight of 4 for this factor. On recruitment, weights were concentrated towards the higher end of our scale. 13 out of 18 council members ended up weighting this as a 3 or a 4. For climate vulnerability, the average was 2.11. Those weights ranged from a minimum of 0 to the maximum of 4. So the full scale that had been provided and available for council members, 13 of you weighted this as a 2 or a 3. For the recreational fishery characterization, weights of 1 and 2 were the most common. Each were used 6 times for a total of 12. The other 6 were either a 3 or 4, so critically important or highly important. Commercial fishery characterization, weights of 3 were most frequent, so that appeared eight out of the 18 responses, and the weight of 4, which was limited to just the 2 for each person, was used a total of 5 times. So I'll just go back to this slide one more time. Again, we had this scaling of least important to critically important. Council members provided the weights. Again, you can see kind of the distribution of how your peers ended up going through the weightings for each of the factors. We can talk a little bit about the normalized row now. So we're just, again, trying to take those averages and results and scaling them in a way that they can be combined with the scores that the plan team provides and then plotted along the x-axis using that z-score. And with that, I'm happy to take any questions.
Actually, I will go to Chair Ware for her motion first before we open up to questions.
Do you have the demo first?
No, we do.
Yeah. So Angelie is going to pull up a demonstration. So we're going to see the toolkit again this morning, this time using the weights that I just presented on. So we want folks to understand and see maybe what influence that would have had on Gulf of Maine haddock. So that was an example that we showed yesterday. I think Angelie can talk about some of the differences between where you landed last April and today. So I'll let Leah go through, share some of those results, and then we'll come back for the motion.
All right, good morning, everyone. So I've pulled up our application on the screen, and I'll maybe just give a brief overview again for anyone that didn't join us yesterday. We have our user selection here on the left, and we're going to select our action year, 2026, which we'll be setting specifications for, our FMP for Northeast Multispecies to filter our stock selection. And we'll scroll down to Gulf of Maine haddock. We have some information on a risk policy matrix using information from 2024 and the recommended probability page. We now have a table with the scores from Dr. Brothers' work, caveating that the commercial and recreational right now are assumed too. And then on the far right column, you can see your updated average weights for each of the factors that Mr. Paris just presented. That now results in a z-score of 2.48. If you recall yesterday, our z-score was 2.27. And what that looks like on the recommended probability plot, we are now at a recommended probability of 53.9 and a level of risk tolerance as high risk. And so we are still within our green high risk tolerance zone for Gulf of Maine haddock for this example.
Actually, I do have a question. Is it possible to bring up the one that you did yesterday to kind of show the example of how the change in weightings made a difference between in that Z-scores? Or maybe just if you could tell us what the Z-score was yesterday.
Yep, I can pull up the report from yesterday. So the Z-score yesterday was 2.27. The recommended probability was 54.7. So we have gone from 54.7 to 53.9. So a slight bit more certainty in our probability.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Yep. Mr. Alexander.
Angelina, will you have like all years on this so we could kind of look back and see what we've done over the years and kind of see will that all be listed there so we can do it?
Yes. So as the council goes through its weightings every 3 years and as the PDTs go through their scorings each year, the application will collate all of that information as you go. So in 3 years, when you redo your weightings, that will appear in this application, but 2026 will still remain. I can go through and add in that 2025 mock weighting if you would like, but since that was an example.
Yeah, no, I was just curious if we could actually, when I get bored at home, sometimes I like to look at stuff like that, so weird.
Yes, it'll be there.
Thank you for that. Any quick questions before we get to Jeff Smith?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I'll try to be brief here. So I understand the Z-score part now, and I know we're still working on the ABC control rule, but could you just maybe provide us a brief explanation of how the Z-score is then taken and applied into the ABC control rule, or is it too early to tell on that?
Candidly, I think it's too early to tell. It's really going to be driven by the development of Framework 68. I think the UMaine presentation and the work that Roger has presented kind of gives a good range and flavor of how it could be used, but some of the options are so distinct that I really wouldn't want to get out ahead of that work. I think that needs to go forward. That will dictate it.
Got it. And so just so I'm clear, so this Z-score indicates that we are comfortable with a 55-ish percent chance of management success in the quota setting that we do. That's the Z-score, correct?
Yes, it is. Yep. So, and that, well, I think when we talked about this graph yesterday, I think there's three things to look at. There's the Z-score, there's the recommended probability, which is this percentage, and then there's the overlay of the risk tiers and that stoplight approach. And I just encourage the council to think about all three numbers as you apply this. The intermediate band is fairly wide. Like you could end up being pretty close to low risk tolerance or be in low risk tolerance, but be right on that edge. I think that's been, you know, a discussion point both at Groundfish and at Risk Policy. So I think all three data points are appropriate to consider in this qualitative space we're in.
Dr. O'Keefe.
Thank you. Just one follow-up on this, maybe to try to put it in a little context of our current ABC control rule for groundfish specifically. Our current control rule is a percentage of our overfishing reference point, so 75% FMSY. That does not tell you the probability of overfishing. That's just a fixed number. That probability of overfishing, you know, by law, we can't have more than a 50%. But for something like Gulf of Maine haddock, 75% FMSY is actually associated with a pretty low probability of overfishing. It's very precautious. What this is doing is showing you the probability of management success. It's not just FMSY, and I think that's a really unique part of this risk policy, because now we're not just looking at one component when we set catch advice, that overfishing limit. We're looking at commercial fishery characterization, the stock status itself, the climate vulnerability. So that's where I think, you know, Jonathan's point of how this translates directly into a new control rule, it is a bit premature. But it includes a lot more now of the council's overall consideration of risk than just that one factor around overfishing.
And I would also like to point out, so obviously we've been at this for 3 years, and you know, some of the impetus behind our early discussions at Risk Policy Working Group was this concern that we got into the cycle of remanding things back because we didn't like where we were because of something like this. And I'm glad to see this, the example here up on the board. This would have been at the PDT, the SSC, the council, before we made these decisions. Instead of in that green zone, we would not have had to go, hopefully, the expectations, we would not have had to go through that remand position a couple years ago when we were talking about Gulf of Maine haddock, because Gulf of Maine haddock was super high. We were stuck with our current ABC control rule at 75%. We went back, remanded it. This gives us the opportunity not to cut out that extra layer that we've been fighting with for the few years, past few years. So I hope that people understand some of the implications here with our new risk policy is to get away from some of the stuff that we had to do in the past to get to this point of these higher ABCs, sub ECLs, and what have you. So with that, I don't see any further questions. If we can come back to the motion on the board from Ms. Ware.
Yep, absolutely. So move that the council approve the following weights for use in risk policy as averaged by all individual council weights cast on June 24th, 2026. Would you like me to read the numbers or just reference the table?
Reference the table, sorry.
Okay. See below.
Fair enough. Looking for a second. Ms. Griffin. Rationale?
This is how we voted.
There you go. To the council, discussion on the motion on the board. Ms. Braun.
I gotta say, I'm disappointed. I mean, this is a good process. I'm not chastising the process, but I'm disappointed that both commercial and recreational didn't rank higher, and I'm surprised also. In the worksheet, it asks, when you have made past decisions at the council, what has been the primary driver of whether you were willing to accept an option of higher or lower risk, and what had little influence on your decision? When we remand, it's generally because the commercial fishery has asked us to do so, and we want to help them. And it's ranking pretty low here. And so I'm extremely disappointed with the results. I'm willing to accept them because this is how it goes. But if anyone else would be interested in changing the scores, or are we set? I don't expect this to go anywhere, but I have to ask.
Let's go to the discussion first.
Okay. I mean, this is really surprising.
Maybe. And I appreciate that input. I mean, honestly, your interpretation to how the average to the council is slightly different. And I think that was part of this process, is that everyone has a difference of opinion when they're thinking about setting specs. You are correct that whenever we've gone to this remand world, there has been some concerns about what the implication to the fisheries are. But yeah, I'll open up further. Mr. Pierdnock, then Ms. O'Dell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, get into your question. If I round these off, it's a little different, you know, in each one of them instead of, a second significant figure, but I just pointed that out. As noted yesterday, for recreational, cod and haddock have a sub ACL, so they would go through this ranking risk process, which is fine. So I'm concerned, then how do we adequately rank recreational for those multiple species, halibut, winter flounder, pollock, redfish, cuss, that don't have a sub-ACL, in which there are federal as well as state size thresholds or bag limits for these select species, so I'll point them out. Food for thought that maybe the mechanism to address this is that the RAP, which is a groundfish RAP, should include all groundfish, that the RAP provide input on such when these measures come up, or this process is gone through. Otherwise, I'm concerned that missing link is such that, consistent with the Magnuson Stevenson Act, we're not making a decision that equally ranks them. But I think we could address that by having the RAP provide that input and having an appropriate cross-section of individuals in the RAP that also fish for these multiple species. And to note, things have changed over time with the zero cod possession south of the Cape, and roughly, and we really have 10 months out of the year north, zero cod possession, and with a one fish cod. That the things have changed, that there's more of a focus on redfish, pollock, cusker, or these other species, so recreationally. But I use that as a mechanism, hopefully, to move forward to use this process to keep it going. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Mr. Pierdenock. Ms. O'Dell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'll just follow up quickly on what Togue said. I'm actually a little bit surprised by the results as well, but obviously I listed commercial as highly ranking. And the reason why I did it was because I think back on our remands, and I think that the results that came out of the stock assessment for the models, or selections that were made in the models, were very different from what was being seen on the water with high levels of monitoring and the experience that was taking place in the fishery. So, that obviously SSB stock status is vitally important, and is what we do here as a council, is create management measures around that. But we haven't yet figured out a way to factor in fishery performance and what we're seeing on the water into our process. And we have slightly here through commercial and looking at utilization and that specific factor, and considering maybe how a stock is a choke stock to other stocks that are needed in the fishery, but it's not weighted the same. But I said yesterday when I was like, let's go take the vote and let's have this, see how this plays out. I, support this process. I'm interested to see where this heads moving forward. But I do just want to say that, fishery performance has been huge. I've talked about that throughout the entire time of this process that we've had, and our inability to factor that in when making decision making, and also the SSB stock status not always reflecting what the fishing industry is seeing on the water. So we're moving forward. I'm going to support this motion, but I also just wanted to note some general concern. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. O'Dell. Up next, I have Mr. Lucy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question. So how often are we, I should know the answer to this, how often are we revisiting the weighting?
Mr. Paris.
So we've recommended that the council do it every 3 years.
Mr. Oshevsky.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I love the approach. I think I look at the concerns of Togue and Jackie a little bit differently. I see, commercial value that's very close to highly important. I guess I'm a little bit more surprised, but not surprised, with climate vulnerability. I think everybody looks at climate change and vulnerability a little bit differently. I think people, there are some that think it's a really important issue, obviously some that don't, but in general, I support the approach and I support the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Oshevsky. Ms. Griffin.
Thank you. Yes, I support the motion. I think we've heard throughout yesterday and today, obviously this is a starting point. We will be iterating, because we're going to be through implementation. So I think there's going to be a lot of time to perfect, and there has been clear intent behind that. I guess I actually have a slightly different view looking at the normalized scores here. SSB, recruitment, and commercial, to me, I mean, they're all kind of contributing about a quarter to this score. So I have a little less concern with where we've landed here in terms of, I think we are pulling in the commercial side of things well here. But I'm glad hopefully we'll be implementing this, and no doubt there's going to be room for improvement.
Thank you for that. Mr. Lucy again.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, and we did, you know, towards the end, bring in the AP involvement is one of the components. And, you know, there may be opportunity in the future to see how we can flex the importance of that, but it definitely was taken into account.
Ms. Braun.
I see no one's going to pick up the hook I put down there, so I see where this is going, and I just want to say, so the SSB is already being included when the scientists, when the PDTs are looking this over. All of this stuff, they have this information. This was our chance to say, to wait and to add a little bit more weight based on commercial and recreational interests. And I can see it's going to pass. I'm not sure if I'll vote yes or no, but I'm really disappointed that, at the very least, commercial didn't rank higher. So thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you for that. Mr. Alexander.
Yeah, I mean, I think the commercial fishery is important. I think the recreational fishery is important. And I think Mike has some good points when we need to start looking at the, you know, they're concentrating on pollock and redfish and stuff. You know, some of those boats are catching a lot of that, you know. You know, I understand how the council works. Though, you know what I mean? There's a lot of different opinions around the table. And, you know, I kind of expected about these same results, to tell you the truth. Nothing here surprised me. You know, I understand Tog's point about the spawning stock biomass. And, you know, and that goes back to our first stage discussion about, you know, getting the surveys right, getting the science right. But we still have to take that into consideration when setting quotas. So I will support it going ahead. I just, you know, I understand everybody's concerns, and I have the same ones. So, but this is the best we got, and I feel more comfortable with it today than I did yesterday. So
that is a bonus. Thank you for that, Terry. I appreciate that very much. I'll go to the public in the room if there are any comments on the motion on the board regarding the weightings that we're about to approve. Any folks online from the public world? Seeing none, back to the council. Last opportunity. Mr. Pierdnock.
Thank you. One last thing. You know, getting back to the significant figures, are we more well served then that we get rid of that second, you know, like, for instance, spawning stock biomass normalized, that rounds off at 0.3. Crewman, 0.2. Climate, 0.2. Interesting. Rec, 0.2. And commercial, 0.2. So does that, are we more well-served to do that, or that eliminates some of the observations that have been presented at the table? I just throw that out there. I'm not sure from a fishery management standpoint how data is typically presented. I just couldn't say off the top of my head. I know from an engineering standpoint how it's done, but using my engineering mind right now, not fishery. Thank you.
I will turn to Mr. Paros. I mean, it's part of the math. I'm not the one to answer, so I will turn to Mr. Paros or, oh, Ms. Ware, someone?
Sure, I'll take a crack at it. So, there is rounding involved. The normalized scores need to add to one to be used. And so in the rounding scenario that you offered would be greater than one. So I think it cuts both ways. There would be trade-offs in trying to round to one digit. I'd continue to encourage the council to do what we've presented here today, not go any further, in terms of significant digits. But certainly something we can think about. I think this, using the number of decimal places that we've landed on, I think is the best representation of what the council's weights were when we went through to normalize.
Thank you. Actually, I'll just do a show of hands, you know, just kind of throw it out there. I heard some concerns. I heard some yeses. So I'll just do a show of hands. For the motion on the board, those that are in favor of the motion on the board, please raise your hand. Those that are opposed? Abstentions? The motion will pass with 16 approve and one abstention. I will turn back to you, Chair Ware.
I think that is everything we have today.
Thank you very much. And I thank the council for walking through this exercise. As we said, we've been working on this for 3 years. It will change. It'll be a slow process, but we do have the opportunity to update this as new information comes along, as new ideas come along. So keep in mind, this is a living process. Mr. Papalardo, I saw your hand.
Yeah. Just curious, Jonathan didn't mention it, so I assume everybody followed directions filling out the form and only picked two, no more than two, with a score of four?
Yes, everyone followed that direction.
You should have led with that today. Yeah. Like, congratulations, yeah. You followed the directions.
Good work, everyone.
Thank you for that. We will take a break now, allow people to check out. If you've not checked out, we're ahead of schedule. Yay. So if you...